Lord be with you.
And with
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days. It became known that he was at home. Many gathered together so that there was no longer room for them, not even around the door. And he preached the word to them. They came bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. Unable to get near Jesus because of the crowd, he opened up the roof above him. After they had broken through, they let down the mat on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to them, "Child, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there asking themselves, "Why does this man speak that way? He is blaspheming. Who but God alone can forgive sins?" Jesus immediately knew in his mind what they were thinking to themselves. So he said, "Why are you thinking such things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, pick up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins on earth." He said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your mat and go home." He rose, picked up his mat at once, and went away in the sight of everyone. They were all astonished and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." The Gospel of the Lord. Week we've been reading through the first book of Samuel. Very interesting. His mother was Hannah, who could not have a child for many, many years. She went to the temple in Shiloh because the temple of Jerusalem was not built yet. This was before King David. And she's praying fervently, and God gives her a son whose name is Samuel. And we see Samuel as a child in the temple. And next to him is Eli, the high priest. And God speaks to him at night. And he goes to Eli and says, "Well, did you call me? What do you want?" "I didn't call you. Go back." So this happens three times in which God is speaking to Samuel. And finally, Eli, the high priest, recognize that God is speaking to him and says, "Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening." Okay, then that was 2 days ago, and yesterday, if you have a good memory, the Israelites engaged their enemies in battle and they lost 40,000 men, among which were the two sons of Eli who were priests. And they were lousy priests, bad priests. Why? Because their father was lazy. Bishop Barron gives a really good comment on this for this Sunday's reading, saying that, you know, sometimes you got bishops that do not live up to their quality that they should, and sometimes you got bad priests. Very good application. But I like the application that the reason why Hophni and Phinehas, those were the two guys that died, the reason why they died in battle because their father was lazy. Floco. Padres flocos. In other words, the father did not discipline them the way they should. They should be disciplined. Yesterday I was giving a talk in East LA, and I was talking about this, and a Chola was yelling at me during my talk. He got up and he broke the window and ran out in the streets of East LA, you know? So he didn't want to hear what I was telling him. He didn't want to hear it. And the message is the importance of good parents as well as the importance of obedience. Now, were you listening to the first reading today? You weren't paying attention, were you? It's crazy. It's crazy. So the Jews had what was called a little bit of poli-sci for your people. I'm going to give you a mini course in poli-sci, okay? They had what is called a theocracy. Okay? But then they wanted what is called a monarchy. And it turned out to be an anarchy, if you like that, okay? So from theocracy to monarchy to anarchy. You know what anarchy is? Poli-sci? It means total confusion. Muchos manos en el plato hacen mucho garabato, as they say in Spanish, okay? Total confusion. I mean, I was meditating this morning. I was almost laughing when I was doing the reading. Because they go to Samuel and say, well, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king, we want a king. And Samuel says, basically, you know, God is our king. No, we want a king, we want a human king. And did you listen to what he said? All the 10 negative things are going to happen if you get a king. We still want a king. Cabezón, terco, obstinate. Now, their first king is going to end his life by committing suicide. You hear me? Someone told me to offer the Mass a prayer today for someone who hanged himself yesterday. Pray for him, okay? So, their first king. First king, now he dies. He's fighting in war, and he sees an enemy come at him, and he comes, and he says, kill me. So they don't want to kill him? What does he do? He takes his sword, and he falls on the sword. His name is Saul. Saul is going to be the first king. This says a lot to me. I said people don't want to obey today. People don't want to obey. Okay, how many parents have told your kids, don't play with matches? Did they play with matches? Ow! Mommy! I told you. Sometimes kids have got to get burnt before they learn their lesson. Remember about a year ago, a mother had a daughter that had a un problema romántico, a sentimental problem. And her daughter was a Mexican doctor, so well-educated. But she had a crisis. So the mother sent her to talk with Padre Escobita to see if he could resolve this very intricate problem. So we sit down, we talk, and she's very emotional. She said, well, you know, I've got a boyfriend, and we're probably going to get married, and he's an American, and he's a doctor, too. So two doctors. You think, well, not bad. An American with a Mexican, both doctors, not bad. But then she intervenes saying, but he's an atheist. And, you know, Father Broome, my blunt New York style, I told her, because she spoke English, I told her a New York expression. Drop him like a hot potato. Ah! You have a hot potato in your hand? So hot. Dejar lo caer como una papa caliente, huh? Right? Let him drop like a hot potato. And she got emotional and started to cry. And I went on giving her all the reasons why he's not going to be converted. You're going to have kids that are going to be atheists in 15, 16 years. You're not going to be happy. Every time you go to Mass, he's going to make fun of you. When you come back with the ashes on your head, hey, dummy, get the ashes off. That's an insult to my intelligence, no? It's just going to be fight after fight after fight after fight, and then a big fight, it's over. Leave the guy. You know what she said? Are you listening? Are you? She said, Father, I know you're right. I wanted to pull my hair out. I know you're right, but I'm not going to do it anyway. Sad. I've said this more than once as a parallel. My father worked on Wall Street, and he was a financial consultant. Know what that is? They gave him a lot of money. You know, he's in the economic center of the world, and he's called all over the country to give advice. So 20 minutes on the phone, I'm not going to tell you how much money, but a lot. A lot. Everyone they would call Claude Edward Groom Jr., they would obey him because they want money. And here his son is. I've got twice as much education. My dad was a genius, but I've got more education than him. I give good advice to get to heaven. Sad, isn't it? It's sad. And this girl, I gave her the clincher. I give people with romantic problems this one-liner, and this shuts them up. Because they can't respond to it. Can I tell you what it is? Can I? It's this. If you're with the wrong person, you're never going to meet the right person. That shuts everyone up. It can't be more simple, but more profound and practical. If you're with the wrong person, you're never going to meet the right person. And they told this doctor, look, you got someone else out there that's going to be good practicing Catholic? If it's not a doctor, maybe it's a nurse, who knows? It's going to be someone probably on your same cultural level, but a good Catholic. So if you cling to this loser, you're never going to meet the winner. I haven't seen her in 2 years, and she's probably with this guy crying right now because she would not accept good advice. And the bottom line is, what is it? It's pride. It's self-love. It's self-sufficiency, self-autonomy. I want to do my own thing. The clarion call of the 60s, I got to do my own thing, I got to be free, I got to be me, as they said in the 60s. You remember? Any of you live in the 60s, huh? Got to do my own thing, I got to be me, got to be free. Starting in California, moving out to New York. It's pride. So the message is this. We have to learn to be humble. Don't think you know everything. Don't think you know everything. The older you get, you're going to understand what Socrates said. The only thing I know is that I know nothing. So the most intelligent people in the world are people that recognize they still have to be educated. They still have to receive advice. They still have to study. And they recognize that they don't know everything. So let's pray, especially for our young people. and the teenagers. They think they know everything. And until they get burnt, until they break their leg, until they get into a car accident, as Fulton Sheen says, sometimes God has to break hearts to be able to get in. How good God is. So let's pray that in imitation of Jesus and Mary, that we would be humble. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine. Amen.